Hey guys, welcome back to another video. So as you can see, I finally got my haircut. Yay. I'm still sick, by the way, but I just decided to have a bit of courage and go get a haircut. It was I don't know. It's still tough for me, but it's better than looking like a caveman. So just maybe a little bit of suffering, you know. But gotta get it done, man. All right. So today what I want to do actually is a bit of Bible study. If you're so for people who followed this page for a while, they would know that when I started this page, it was mainly to promote my podcast called Age of Reason. So yeah, you can still find all the videos, by the way, on Podbean, that's for the audio version, and on YouTube, that's for the video version. I used to have guests on the podcast, some, well, yeah, they're my friends, although not all of them, because I don't know, some of them were just here once and that was kind of it. But yeah, the idea was do a basically like atheist experience kind of show, just without the people calling in. And that's a shame because I kind of wanted to do that, but it just never happened. And also, like, you know, I live in Japan. Obviously, I would be interested to hear from not Japanese, because, like, Japanese, like, 99% of Japanese don't care about religion at all. There's a few Christians here and there, but most Japanese follow, like, Shinto. And Shinto, it doesn't have any obligations. Like, you don't have to go to church or, I don't know, it's Shinto is kind of the worship of nature. So they, you know, they have temples here and they have statues of foxes, etc. Because, yeah, they have fox gods, etc. It's not like the fox is a god, really. It's more like they just worship foxes or like wolves or whatever, cats. I don't know really too much about it. But yeah, there's no obligation. There's no donation. I mean, yeah, it's true that in those temples they do have a donation box, and I'm not really sure what it's used for. I mean, is it used to pay the staff or what? But it's not like a, yeah, it's not like a you pay and you have to go in every Sunday and you have to listen to a sermon, and then you have to, you know, the bucket passes around and you have to put money in it. It's not like that at all. So I'm fine with Shinto. Like, seriously, if my partner, it belongs to the Shinto religion, I am absolutely cool with that. I have no worries whatsoever because it's a very, very kind of deistic attitude, and I'm fine with that, really. So yeah, in my shows, in my podcasts, I used to, so we used to have a guest and we discussed the Bible. As far as I know, because I bookmarked the last page that I covered, and it's the new, this is the King James version, isn't it? Oh, it's the English Standard Version. And I covered up to page 171. So that's Deuteronomy 29, 29 or something like that. Yeah. This is as far as I covered. Obviously, like, I read the whole thing, but on the show, on the podcast, that's as far as I went. And then, to be honest with you, I just got bored. I mean, it's boring. It's boring as hell. I mean, it's interesting maybe to talk about it from time to time, but in general, to do it kind of weekly, man, that's not for me. There are other people who do it better than me, so just let them do it. Okay. So yeah, the first thing I want to start with actually is the preface. 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 Preface, yeah. It talks about, you know, the Bible, and it talks about the translation philosophy, translation of specialized terms, and that's fine. It talks about textual basis and resources, the footnotes, the publishing team. But then the final paragraph is interesting because it just says, to God's honor and praise. Just suddenly. Okay. And the paragraph says, we know that no Bible translation is perfect or final, but we also know that God uses imperfect or inadequate things to his honor and praise. What? Why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense. Then I don't know this word, triune. I don't know what that means. So to our triune God and to his people, we offer what we have done with our prayers, that it may prove useful, with gratitude for much help given, and with ongoing wonder that our God should ever have entrusted us so momentous a task. And then it says in Latin, soli Deo gloria, to God alone be the glory. Okay, so this is very kind of strange, because before that it talks about real people, like how they translate the book, the footnotes, and then suddenly, hey, we have to praise God. Okay, and then so the account of Genesis, I'll just go over that today because I think there's a lot of confusion here, but anyway. Okay, it goes in steps. The first step is God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, whatever that means. And the Spirit of God was hovering above or over the face of the waters. Okay, but he didn't create the water yet. That's the thing. Like, so how can he be hovering over the waters if there is no water yet? The earth is without form and void. So where did the water come from, right? Already, this is strange. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, separated the light from the darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. Okay, so again, look, as I always say on my page, this is not evidence, okay? This is not science. This is a claim. The Bible is not evidence of anything. It's a bunch of claims, claim after claim after claim. Now, you can be a believer if you want. I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not one of those guys who's saying, like, okay, you nobody should believe in anything. But the thing is, like, beliefs inform our actions, and beliefs are informed by knowledge and information about something, by evidence. So basically, the moment to believe something is when there is sufficient evidence to believe in something. And sometimes it can be speculative, okay? Like, for example, if my neighbor comes in right now and says, I have a new puppy, well, I can still be skeptical, because maybe he's lying. But at the same time, like, it's quite reasonable to maybe believe he's telling the truth, because people are real, animals are real, and people often get animals as pets. So it's reasonable to conclude that, okay, he's telling the truth. Now, if he comes in and he says, all right, I got a new puppy, I got a new green puppy. Okay, well, again, I know that people are real. I know that puppies are real. However, I have never, ever seen a green dog in general in my entire life. Is it possible that the dog is green? Well, maybe with genetic manipulation, etc., sure. But I've never seen it. So, yeah, they wear clothes sometimes that are green, and that's cool. But the dog fur itself, green? No, never seen it. So what do you do here? Do you just believe the claim, or, you know, are you skeptical and you ask more questions, right? And so, yeah, people who follow the Bible, they read all of this thing and they just say, oh, well, sure. Yeah, that's fine for me. You know, like, God hovers over the waters, even though there's no water yet. It doesn't bother them. It, like, nothing happens in the brain. Like, it just, it doesn't matter, because they kind of just accept everything here at face value. And what I'm saying is, no, the time to believe a claim is when there is sufficient evidence to believe it. And there is no sufficient evidence to believe the Bible. You just have to use common sense, science, and you know, logic and reasoning, like logical fallacies, they exist for a reason, man. And there's a bunch of them. And I recommend actually going on the internet, just typing in logical fallacies, and I'm sure you're gonna find websites. It's just gonna list a bunch of, like, all of them. And you can go through each of them and you can apply them in real life. And that's why they're very useful. The Bible is not useful, but logical fallacies are extremely useful in real life. And you can see, like, if you actually understand them, for example, the, you know, let's use one which is common these days, and that's cherry picking. So the people who, for example, say, well, God is good and the Bible is a good book. What they're actually doing is they're cherry picking the Bible to death. Because to say that God is good, well, again, you have no evidence because nobody has ever seen God, met him or her or it. I don't know how it identifies. And the other thing is, if you say the Bible is a good book, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, you've clearly not read the Bible. What my suspicion is, you went to a church or whatever, a temple. Look, the name itself doesn't matter, but you went to a location where, you know, some priest or preacher read you some, I'm just gonna put a pen here, a good passage or a series of good passages. And of course, I mean, I've been to church. I know exactly how it works. They never ever cover the bad parts because they're problematic and they know that, and they don't want to cover them because they actually can't defend any of the shit. They can't defend things like genocide. They can't defend things like, you know, rape and justifying slavery, being just very inhumane towards women. If you again read the Bible, you'd know that pretty much on every page, almost every page of the Bible, there is something really, really awful said about women in particular. For example, like, yeah, just an easy example is to say, okay, if you have a boy, it's worth, like, I don't know, one gold coin. But if you have a daughter, a baby girl, she's worth half. What do you call that? If not blatant sexism? I don't know. But this is just one of many examples. Like, you have to really read this thing from page one to, I don't know, what's the last page here, but read the whole thing and underline what I did in my book. And I don't know if you can see that a little bit, but I kind of circled and underlined the problematic parts because that's what I'm really worried about. It's the problematic parts and how the Bible goes about solving these issues, which, by the way, it doesn't. It provides no answers whatsoever. It's more like a kind of textbook, and you're not supposed to think and reason through it. You're just supposed to memorize it. And this is, you know, tunnel vision 101. Just memorize it, but never ever open those blinders because God forbid what you'll find to your left and to your right. Okay, so let there be light. And this is, again, a very strange statement. I'll come back to it later. I don't know what that means. And also the mechanism by how that happens. Then he says, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. So again, suddenly there's water. I don't know why. And let it separate the waters from the waters. Does that make any sense whatsoever? To me, none whatsoever. And God made the expanse, separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. This is just like gibberish, complete crap. In other words, God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Okay. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the land the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw it was good. Okay. All right. Well, again, this apparently happens in one day, but we know from plate tectonics, etc. We know how it works. Like, it doesn't take one day. It takes a very extremely long time. So when Earth was young, we say that there was one supercontinent called Pangaea. And then, you know, because we have a molten core in the center of Earth, which means that things are moving, and that's why we have earthquakes as well. The land itself, so yeah, it's like plates. They're moving around. Sometimes they crash, sometimes they go further apart from each other. But anyway, yeah, the idea is that initially it was this one supercontinent, and then it, you know, it broke apart into the continents we see today. Now, in the future, because plate tectonics has not stopped, okay, there is one argument that says it's kind of slowing down. I'm not personally like a earth scientist, so I can't really say that's the case or not, but could be. But anyway, for now, definitely it's going to keep moving around, and that's why, unfortunately, we still see earthquakes. And, you know, some of them are extremely damaging and deadly, like the one that happened in Turkey, for example, not long ago. But, you know, if it happens in Japan, it depends where it happens. But if it happens in a certain location under the water, it can generate a tsunami because, right, it's basically like a kind of, it creates a gap in the earth. And so the water kind of goes in and then goes, suddenly rises again. Again, I'm not an earth scientist. I don't claim to know exactly how it works, but I believe that's like fairly accurate. Anyway, so yeah, tsunami again. Very devastating, not just from the earthquake itself, but from the wave as well. Yeah, it doesn't happen in one day. I know that obviously, like, the day in the Bible here, it's metaphorical, probably, most likely. But it's, I don't know, like, again, it's kind of a silly starting point to say that, and especially like you don't have a model that explains reality. It just says, okay, God made it, but that's not a model. That's just a claim. You have to demonstrate that claim. If you say, okay, if you grant my point that, okay, initially we had, you know, like a supercontinent, let's say. How do you explain that now we have the Earth in the shape it is today? Like, you need a model that arrives to our conclusion. And the plate tectonics is a good model because it's still going on. Like, it hasn't stopped. It's still going on, and it's still going to explain how the continents shift over time into the future. So the idea of science is not just to explain a phenomenon, but it's also to make accurate predictions about the future. And the plate tectonics is a very good example of that, because we know more or less where, you know, each plate is going. We know, for example, India is going under Tibet, basically, right? So yeah, if you reject science, well, you can do that. But you need to provide then your model that explains reality. And that's difficult. But again, if you are interested in the truth and reality, then you must provide some kind of model that explains this reality. You can't just say, well, things just are this way. That's not, I don't know, that's a 3-year-old explanation of the world. Now, obviously, you can be satisfied with this kind of childish thinking, and it can be enough for you. But for kind of any serious, honest truth seeker, it's completely insufficient. Okay, so then he says, let the earth sprout vegetation, the plants yielding seed, the fruits, fruit trees bearing fruit, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so like basically vegetation appears, all right, on the third day. And then, there's a contradiction here, I think, or definitely some kind of, it's okay, look, again, the Bible is written by people who didn't know where the sun goes at night, okay? Let's just be honest there. It's a bunch of, you know, desert dwellers, a bunch of shepherds, etc. It's like the shepherd's guide to the universe. Horrible source. Anyway, so vegetation appears on the third day. Then the fourth day, apparently, if I'm not mistaken here, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. There's be seasons and days and years. Light upon the earth. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. Okay, well, again, this doesn't make any sense in the scientific meaning because, okay, yeah, we do have a sun and we just get daylight. There's no such thing as night light. I know, okay, technically, yes, I know that you can get light reflected off the moon and that's called like the moonshine or something. I'm not even sure. But okay, that's not the light. Like the moon itself is not a source of light. It's a source of reflection, yes. It's a reflective surface, but it's not a source of light. So if you say there is light at night, it's not because the moon is generating light. It's because it's reflecting light. But in the Bible, it seems like he made two great lights. That's what it says here. The greater light to rule the day, that would be the sun. And then the lesser light to rule the night. Well, I'm sorry, but the way I read this is that it's talking about the moon or something. But the moon is not a source of light. It doesn't create light. And so the interesting part here is, so yeah, we get the vegetation first on the third day. And then on the fourth day, he made light. But that is not what science claims. That is not what reality seems to be. Now, the reality seems to be, okay, the earth formed, there was, you know, water eventually. We don't know exactly where it came from, but the suspicion is ice particles that were floating around the sun at the time before, you know, before the solar wind kind of blew them out to the outer planets, before the sun was created, before the, okay, I don't like this word created, before the sun became the sun, let's say, there was a bunch of stuff, like debris, we call, floating around in its orbit. But when the sun was born, it created, you know, the solar wind, and so that blew all those particles away. But that doesn't mean that all of them went away. Still, some of them could be, you know, absorbed and left over from that. But we also believe that it came from comets, okay? Comets carry a lot of ice. And so we know that the early solar system was very chaotic. There was a lot of, like, collisions and stuff all the time. Even Earth, I mean, Earth itself, at one point, it's claimed, I forgot the name of the planetoid that collided, Theia or something, I can't remember. Yeah, kind of big body collided with Earth, and that could have been the death of Earth right there, okay? But it wasn't. obviously, because we're here. But that happened all the time. So yeah, kind of collision between planets, obviously asteroids, and comets as well. And okay, that's one explanation for the origin of water on Earth. And by the way, it's also claimed that there was water on Mars. So that's why exploration of Mars is important, because we, you know, scientists believe that there is a lot of ice trapped under the surface of Mars. Okay, so if we can unlock it, basically, at least if people go there, we'd have water. And water is essential for life, obviously, and to vegetation, etc., etc. Anyway, I digress. Light was first, okay? Light was definitely first, and then came vegetation. But in the Bible, it's the opposite. It says vegetation was first, and then was light. But that's wrong. That's just wrong. And we know it's wrong if we study the history of the solar system, which we do know fairly well by now. Okay, and then he says, yeah, so that's the fourth day he created light. Okay, and then so the waters, he says, the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth. So he created sea creatures and birds. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply, blah, blah, blah. Again, this is magic once again, because we know that fish and birds did not start at the same time. That's for sure. You just have to study like the history of evolution. Life as we think it started in the water. Now you can, we're not sure exactly where, but we have certain ideas. You know, it's near kind of underwater vents because there is a lot of minerals there. There is heat, and that's good for life. Now, as far as like where life itself came from, we don't know. But one theory that I heard a lot is that, okay, because we think that Mars was habitable in the past, before the Earth even. And we know that, okay, Mars, you know, there are collisions in Mars as well. So, you know, asteroids crash into Mars. And then what happens is that parts of the rock, okay, parts of the surface of Mars get ejected into space. And then they actually end up on Earth. Now, this is not science fiction. It still happens today. There are certain collisions with Mars. Okay, it's a bit rarer these days, obviously, because, you know, the solar system is more in a calm state than before. But it still happens from time to time. So debris from Mars ends up on Earth. Now, this is an important thing here. If you're talking about debris from Mars today, obviously, because Mars is a barren planet these days, it's very, very unlikely that it will carry kind of life forms in the rocks, okay? Because of the Mars state of today. But the Mars state of before, where we do think there was, you know, water and maybe, you know, vegetation, life, whatever. We don't know what kind of life, by the way. Could have been very simple life. Could have been something else, a bit more advanced. We don't know. Because, again, we have to go and dig there, look for fossils, etc. And we're not there quite yet. But if you're talking about that kind of early Mars that had water, that maybe had life, and then some of those rocks ejected carried certain cells, even a few cells, and we know that certain things in space can be frozen and then reanimated given the right conditions. They're not dead, you see. They're frozen. So they end up on Earth, and here again, it's kind of, they splash into the water, let's say. It goes near an underwater volcanic vent. It's hot there. There's minerals, etc. it is possible to bring these things out of cryogenesis, basically. And maybe, I mean, that's definitely one model that we're still investigating, by the way. And maybe that's how life on Earth started. Maybe life on Earth did not start on Earth, but maybe it started in outer space and came here. That's the thing. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God made life here on Earth. But again, that's just a, again, that's a claim. You have to demonstrate that's the case. And I'm sorry, but there's no current science that supports that living, you know, fish basically and birds emerged at the same time. As far as I know, it just doesn't happen. Okay, and then, so that's the fifth day. And then the sixth, wait a second here. Yeah, okay, let's just continue. So then he says, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. Creationists love this word kinds, but scientists do not use that word. We don't say kinds. We say species, yes, but not kinds. Kinds is very problematic, obviously. Livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. Once again. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according... Okay, once again, it's repeated. It's repeated like three times. Because if you're an idiot, I guess you need three times to understand something instead of once. All right. And then he says... Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, well, I know this is, again, a very problematic thing, because in my mind, man made God in his image. That's why, like, in kind of paintings and stuff, usually, at least the biblical God is, I know that, like, in Islam, actually, I think any depiction of Muhammad is prohibited. So that's why we don't really have any kind of art from Muhammad. I'm not, again, an Islam expert, so I'm not sure, but that's what I heard. But in the biblical God, we do have certain paintings and, you know, frescoes, etc., mosaics, which depict clearly a white man, an old white man with a beard, and... Yeah, just looks like a man, you know, but definitely because I'm an atheist. So I definitely think that, you know, man created religion, all of religion since the dawn of mankind. And we had so many, many gods before, you know, we had so many gods before the Bible. Okay. But for some reason, like the Bible became important for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, it's man's inability to understand reality, and it's also man's desire, perhaps, to be something more significant, or yeah, usually it's some kind of significance issue, like we have to matter for some reason. We are very important in the universe. Yay. I don't think so, by the way. I think we're fucking irrelevant as fuck. But, you know, some people really want to believe that they are important or something. But anyway, God, so man, yeah, man created a bunch of religions because of primitive understandings of reality. For example, we didn't know where thunder comes from, so we said Zeus. Zeus is angry, so, you know, he literally takes lightning bolts in his hand and he tosses them from the clouds. And that explanation was good enough for people who didn't understand weather. Yeah, so God created man in his image. I think it's the opposite. I think man created God in his image. And God said to them, which is interesting, because I felt like the first man was, the first people were Adam and Eve, but clearly not, if you read the Bible. Apparently, they were just people, suddenly. Okay. Kind of contradicts the Genesis story, but okay. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And the rest part for me here is very problematic, because he says, and fill the earth and subdue it. I really, really don't like that language. Subdue it. It's like, treat the earth as your bitch. Obviously, I disagree with that assessment, but okay. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay. I have, again, problems with this statement. I don't like this word subdue. I mean, really, it really does sound like, yeah, just make earth your bitch. Abuse it. Although I know later it says you have to be the shepherd of the earth, etc. But okay, but that's not what page one of Genesis says. And then again, dominion over the fish and the birds and the, you know, basically animals. Well, again, I have problems with this statement because unfortunately, yeah, look, I there are many people in the world who have pets and, you know, they treat them like family. Like I have a cat. Maybe in the future I'll have more. I don't know yet. But I absolutely treat them like family members. You know, like they are part of the family. And I don't hurt them. I don't, I don't like, you know, toss them around or throw them around or anything like that. I treat them like an equal, basically. But unfortunately, there are people in the world who mistreat pets, etc., etc. And I'm not saying that, you know, all of these bad people are necessarily like Christians. And, you know, they do this shit because Genesis 1, Genesis 28, 29 tells them to have dominion over animals. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the Bible definitely gives you kind of a reason to do this bad shit because, yeah, you are supposed to have dominion over your pets. And dominion, of course, you have to define what dominion means. I mean, is it just kind of like, you know, looking after your animals? Or is it like literally kind of just, yeah, again, kind of abusing your pet? Like, yeah, you, because you are superior. And this feeling of superiority is one I really don't like in the Bible. It clearly says that man is superior. Like, man has a purpose. Man has a meaning. Well, I mean, the meaning is to worship God, but you know, that's, but yeah, dominion over animals, subdue the earth. Okay, so again, yeah, I just find this very, very problematic. I don't like this account of stories whatsoever. It's just magic. Like, there is no scientific backing for any of this. And again, some people read that and they go, well, yeah, sure, that's fine. That's good for me. That's good enough for me. I don't, you know, I probably slept through my biology, chemistry, and physics classes in high school. I don't understand anything. I don't understand anything. Therefore, God. That's the God of the gaps fallacy. And it's the oldest one there is, as far as I know. And yeah, as soon as you commit it, I have no reason to listen to you seriously and honestly. All right. I think that's all for this video today. I just kind of wanted to do this, actually. And by the way, the seventh day, God rests. But I thought this was like a being with, you know, kind of a lot of like never-ending energy and never-ending strength or whatever. But he needs to rest on the seventh day. Okay, that doesn't make much sense, but all right. This, you know, this powerful being that created the entire universe suddenly gets tired. Okay. All right, that's it for this video. I just wanted to cover this kind of Genesis story once again. I know it's been done to death by other people, but I've never really done this in so much depth. And I just wanted to do it. Just like, why not? Because my podcast, I think I started it in 2014. It's been, you know, 9 years since. And obviously, I learned more over the years. I can explain more. I can analyze this better than, you know, nearly a decade ago. So it's like, hey, why not? I might do more of this in the future. I don't know. This is, again, not really my hobby or anything. But yeah, if people are interested in it, in my analysis, I might do more of this. But I don't really plan on doing it. So yeah, it depends on what, like, the reaction of people in the comments or etc. If people want me to do more, I'll do more. But if not, then it's really not a priority for me right now at all. I have other things to do. All right, that's it. Have a nice week. And I'll catch you around. JC signing off.